Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory, faint the breeze. This is my country, land of my birth. This is my country, grandest on earth. I pledge my allegiance, America, the bold, for this is my country to have and to
week of April, and of course our theme is This Is My Country, and it's This Is My Country applies to our interview today, a former Yugoslav military officer who I interviewed last week, about 20-minute interview. There's a little problem with part of it, but today we're going to have a little fun, and of course those of you who, going back 30 years ago, probably remember a little car called the Yugo. And of course, we joke about, did President Joseph Tito drive one? No, he didn't. In fact, a fascinating guy. He's the guy who defied Stalin, told Stalin where to go, and he'd help him and stay out of the Balkans. Him and the Albanian president, Hoxner. Anyway, Tito was a fascinating character. He was a mechanic. He dropped out of high school. He worked for Mercedes-Benz in Vienna, and he spoke five languages. Quite a guy, brilliant guerrilla tactician, and he was a bit of a thug. I guess you could say that. Excuse me, I still got that bloody cold. But anyway, let's deal with today's historical births, deaths, and events which are relevant to today, which we can learn something from them today. It's the birthday of Marcus Aurelius. If you remember that movie by Samuel Bronson, the producer-director, The Fall of the Roman Empire, Alec Guinness played Marcus Aurelius. He was an ascetic. He wrote a great writer, and he was poisoned while he was trying to secure the eastern frontiers of the Roman Empire because of the barbarians. Those were the Germans in those days. Some people still think they're barbarians. And the movie starred Sophia Loren, Mel Ferrer played the physician, and there's an Irish actor, I forgot his name, haven't seen him for a while, and I think Christopher Plummer, if I'm not mistaken. Great movie. Marcus Aurelius was not a barbarian a pervert like Nero or Tiberius in some of the later Roman Caesars, but if you want to read some interesting philosophy, read Marcus Aurelius. Also, today is the birthday of Thaddeus Stevens. Now, he's famous because he was a U.S. representative who was opposed to slavery, and he got into an argument in Congress. This is one of the times when there was violence in Congress, and he insulted, so another member of Congress thought, and it was a Southerner who beat Thaddeus Stevens so badly that he was in a wheelchair. There's a movie, a rare movie, with Van Heflin on Andrew Johnson, whose birthday was last week, and also who's responsible for the Alaska Purchase. And on Wednesday, we will have a descendant of one of the people, one of the Count de Badisco, who was involved in the purchase of Alaska from Russia. Anyway, in this movie, Lionel Barrymore plays Thaddeus Stevens, and they were the radical Republicans who wanted to punish the South after the Civil War. That they didn't go along with Lincoln's idea of reconciliation. Great movie, and Lionel Barrymore was in his wheelchair. You'll love it. Another birthday today is Dorothea Dix. She was a medical person who worked to try to get people to understand medical disabilities, handicapped people. Also, the guy who invented the Yale cylinder lock, which was one of the best locks made, he was born today, Mr. Yale. One of the great conductors, French, who became an American citizen in 1940. I don't know if he was Jewish background or ethnic. Conducted many orchestras and was a great teacher. He had this great big walrus mustache. And he taught Andre Previn, a lot of musicians. His son was a Claude Monteux, was a famous flute player. But Pierre Monteux conducted all of the major orchestras of the world. He started as a cellist, he was in the premiere of what was considered barbaric music at the time, The Rite of Spring by Igor Stravinsky. And he died in 1961. We have, we'll play it on Bastille Day, the original version of the Les Marseillais, and he talks very briefly to the London Symphony Orchestra, and it's part of the archives. Also today, one of the great military men of all time, especially in Japan with all the problems they're having, unlike some of the barbarians in World War II in the Japanese military like Tojo, Major Ishii, Iwasuko Yamamoto was the guy who planned the Pearl Harbor attack and a lot of the naval maneuvers successful in the Pacific. And he studied at Harvard. He came to the United States in the 20s, studied Harvard. He traveled around the United States, and he was the only Japanese military person who realized and understood the great industrial capacity of the United States, and to wage war against the sleeping giant was a mistake. Now, they refer to him in the movie Toro, Toro, Toro. Some people think it's Torrible, Torrible, Torrible. But he was shot down by while making a tour of one of the islands in the Pacific. He had a premonition of death. And, of course, it was an assassination in the air. It was war, even though it was war. Some people think they learned through breaking one of the Japanese military codes that Admiral Yamamoto was going to be in this plane. It's called a Betty. And would be flying to, I think, Rabaul in the Pacific. And the Americans planned to not hijack him, but to hit him there and blow his plane out of the air, which they successfully did. It was quite a feat because they had to plan it practically to the minute when that plane would arrive. Also today, we have Eva Marie Saint, blonde actress. You remember On the Waterfront? She played girlfriend of Marlon Brando. She was also in Exodus and several other films. I think she's still living. And then Anthony Perkins, who was gay, later married. Remember him in the Hitchcock movie. He later went on to do some directing, like his father's father was named Osgood, I think, Perkins. And then we had among the deaths today, it was the first death of a president while in office, and he had the shortest term in office. William Henry Harrison the general who defeated Tippecanoe was an Indian battle, the battle with the Indians in the United States Army, and he defeated the Indians, and he was elected president. And he gave the longest inaugural in U.S. history, and he did it bareheaded on January day, caught pneumonia, and died about 41 days later. His son, and then we got John Tyler, who was from the South, and that's where you got the election slogan, Tippecanoe and Tyler too. And then William Henry Harrison's son, he was from Indiana, one of the two presidents from there, Benjamin Harrison, later who was the president in between Grover Cleveland's two terms. Grover Cleveland was the only president to have lost an election, and then his opponent, the Republican opponent, won, and then Grover Cleveland came back to defeat Harrison, and so there was this, Benjamin Harrison was sandwiched between the two terms of Grover Cleveland. Excuse me, still got this cold. Then we have Martin Luther King was assassinated today. I do remember that day, the riots that were in Chicago and other parts of the United States. Still some controversy over that. Who really did it? Did James Earl Ray do it, or did somebody else who wanted him out of the way? It's one of those mysteries, like the mystery about John Kennedy, who really killed him, as some people think that somebody else did it. Then Bhutto, the father of Benazir Bhutto, both Bhuttos died violent deaths. He was the father of, I think it was Pakistan's successor to one of the presidents there, and he was hanged for corruption and, I believe, treason. And then Gloria Swanson, great actress, she was in the movie Sunset Boulevard. She died today. And then John Hines, of the Hines 57 food family, he was killed. He was a senator from Pennsylvania. He died today. And his wife married John Kerry. That's where John Kerry got all his money. None of the events today. We have St. Ignatius, or Ignatius, who was a Spanish soldier. He decided to start an order of priests who would act like soldiers of God, and they still do. The head of the Jesuit order, they get involved in politics, and they always get kicked out of countries because they, for some reason, will not stay out of politics. They started a lot of universities in the United States, Georgetown. Loyola University is controlled by the Jesuits. There's USF in San Francisco, Loyola down in New Orleans, Loyola in Chicago, Loyola in Los Angeles. And they're also known because of their immense power and influence. They're known, the head of their order is known as the Black Pope, not because he's got black skin, but because they wear black and they're very ascetic. And we remember them when I was in boarding school. In senior year, they came to give 3-day retreats, and it was so bad, we couldn't wait to get rid of them. Excuse me. And then, let's see, who else is born today? And then we had the Sir Francis Drake, who was later in the Elizabethan age, reign of Queen Elizabeth I. He was one of the first men to circumnavigate the world. He also ended up in Northern California in a part of San Francisco Bay, which he explored. Can you imagine with those little ships in those days and all these storms? It was quite a feat. And then the first woman mayor, there's two women mayors who were elected on this day. Her name was Susanna Salter, and in a place called Argonia, Kansas, in 1887, first woman mayor elected in the United States. The other woman mayor elected was Jane Byrne, whose husband was killed, a Marine pilot was killed. She ran, the snow defeated her opponent, who was Michael Blandick, succeeded Richard Daley I when he had a heart attack while sitting on the toilet. And I think at Northwestern University, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, there was a horrible snowstorm in 1979 in Chicago. I think 200 tons of snow dumped on the city. This Blandick and the city was not prepared to deal with it. People were very angry. She ran against the snow, against the machine, and won by 17,000 votes. Quite a woman, Jane Byrne. And she was married to Jay McMillan, who was a reporter at the old Chicago Daily News. That paper's long since dead. And then we had Cecil Rhodes. on this day. He was one of those buccaneers in Africa, and Rhodesia is named after him. He set up a scholarship at the time for $10 million. And when you hear Rhodes Scholarship, the origin is Cecil Rhodes, who was an economic buccaneer in the darkest Africa, as they say. And then the first artificial heart was installed today in 1969 by Dr. Denton Cooley. And then also on this day, the first Mexican-American, I think it's a bad term, I hate hyphenated, but this is how he's described, Henry Cisneros, very tall, elegant, like a Spanish grandee, was elected mayor of San Antonio, Texas. He later went on to become Secretary of HUD, and had an interesting letter for him from him during the Clinton administration when I had to go to Washington. And then he is related to Raul Almazan, who was part Mexican ancestry. Family fled to the Philippines, and there's a connection to the first Indian president of Mexico, Benito Juarez. So these are the interesting events. So now I'm going to play that interview that I made with this former Yugoslav military person. This is part one, and we'll have part two, and we're also on the best of the week, since it's a very good interview, and it better be here because we uploaded it today. And let's see, where is that? Oh, good heavens, come on. Where is our interview? Now, here we go. Okay, it's called You Go.
Have a little fun. Who came up with the Yugo? Because Americans laugh at that car.
A company in Yugoslavia called Dastava is actually behind the, obviously, they made the car, and it was developed in Zambia, the region, and actually...
It's not a Fiat?
No, it's in
what's that Russian car?
Lada? Lada. some of them I have these days are apparently considered classics.
So. I know. People look at them as that. I haven't seen that one before.
For the as the territory was being developed, as people obviously got more educated, and obviously they wanted to be different means of transportation, from a very very traditional one to actually very modern. For the technology that they had, for Yugoslavia, it was a car that people used it, and
didn't break down.
Well, even if it broke down, it was so cheap, so affordable to actually to fix.
You could get parts.
Yeah, well, true.
You know what they say about British cars?
Yeah.
They like to tinker with them. They always break down. So I was thinking, some Brit cab lead one on the Yugoslavians. But Tito wasn't around when that was built.
Well, it was, it was a stop-up. It is even from the Tito's time, there were several cars, actually. There were even,
Did he drive a Mercedes?
Sure. You guys, or a stage coach, who knows? for us, it was, what you guys actually had, which is Yugo 55, actually was the top of the line. The company actually that made it was actually a gun company, AK-49, that is the Yugoslavian version of it, actually was made by the same company, which is Dastava. So,
was it better than the German car? It was a nice German car, I forgot the name of it, and we used to laugh at that one because it was always...
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay. It was better than
there's a small core actually that came, I think, from this is a little tiny part. It's almost like,
With Mazzi, it looked like an older Fiat.
They call it Ficha, and so that's what we used to have, and that even was better than the Yugo. But at least the job, the chance.
So was Yugo a name that they used to market it in America?
Correct. Yugo was actually just because it's obviously the name of the country, and they really wanted to sort of representation of the country itself. Mm-hmm. It was the only car that was made down there. So you wanted to have sort of something that would symbolize the country itself and actually.
Good question. Now, in another interview, we're outside right now, although we're not in Belgrade. Would you comment on Churchill's comment that there's always trouble in those damn Balkans?
I think there's a lot of different cultural ethnic groups that have been in the region for states of the United States, and we're talking about probably 15, 20 countries. So obviously, you know, you would use it. But in any case, there's been a lot of problems. People do recognize themselves and identify themselves as Europeans. I hate to say it, in a few cases, a few times, you know, obviously, don't act as most Western Europeans, because a lot of, you know...
Well, that's widespread across the continent.
A lot of solutions are handled in sort of like, you know, by force. But when it comes down to the economics, control, power, and especially in the case of Yugoslavia, each and every one of the republics would have its own identity and its culture, and its sort of regime in a sense, and really was sort of managed... They wanted to have control, they wanted to have dictatorship, and they wanted to have really, like, you know, economic power. The region has a lot of resources, it has a lot of great people that were brought up in different generations. In any sense, I'm sure Churchill had him, you know...
Like Tesla?
Yeah, that's true.
His name's coming back now, especially with his energy crisis. And he had some great musicians come out of there.
I'm sure, yes. Gil Dukman is one.
Felix Weingartner. Changed his name from Dalmatia,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
And, of course, the wine was good at one time.
It's coming back.
Yeah, I have to see it first.
Every one of them now, like, you know, more so just like the Yugo. There's a lot of winemakers now that are
making
the wines in the name of the city.
Well, they were adding Retsina in the Bulgarian. I think it's Bulgarian or Romanian. Yeah. It's pretty bad. Well, Arvid, since you're getting a headache, let's continue this, and we'll talk about your military experience and some of the other cultural things, like some of the things you did in the military, and more about Tito's, a character that we heard about, but very few people in the West really knew anything about him.
What's funny is that a lot of people don't know. He spoke 7 languages, at least, like, you know, that's what we know.
Yeah, we just thought he was a thug.
No, he wasn't. And he never finished completely high school. He was actually a handyman.
Pretty handy with a gun.
Self-educated and self-made.
Mm-hmm.
It's a unique character to study, and he was a great politician. Believed in making friends before you make enemies.
He managed to hold off Stalin. I never could figure that one out. A lot of people couldn't figure that one out.
There was one of the first, but then Van Hooja, there were the two ones that actually broke that sort of pact that they had.
You mean the guy in Albania?
Correct. Van Hooja.
Oh, that would be interesting in part two. So since you're getting a headache, and we're still a little noisy. Thank you, Alvin, and we will do part two, and we'll probably run this... Friday, I'll just edit it a little bit, and I got your email.
I'm trying to be as unbiased and possible as I can.
How could you be? Thank you so much.
Right, thank you.
Okay, unfortunately, that interview, we had to do it outside because there was a screw-up the previous Sunday, which was supposed to be done on Skype, and for some reason, it was a technical problem. So we have part two of that interview also. This will be up on YouTube with some interesting photos about Tito and his lifestyle and the Yugo. Now, I understand it's kind of a cult classic in some places, but I never drove one. I was a Volkswagen person in my college days. Anyway, since we have an extra minute here, I want to play something else here. Just a little... since we're in a military frame of mind, let's salute the Royal Air Force. It's theirs. Their commemoration, 1919. might be hearing later this month a lot of British march music and military music and royal music. The Brits really know how to do it when it comes to these national occasions like marriages, coronations, and funerals. So when Prince William marries Kate Middleton, that'd be some interesting music. And also the British composers like Sir William Walton and Edward Elgar wrote music for these festive occasions. So we'll close with our favorite, which represents a lot of things that go on in politics, although it's not poker these days. It's cocaine and bribery and perversion with some of these politicians.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Say, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
where to go on top.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll stay.
Raise your mind.
I'll fold. I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in. Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovic. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How
about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!
Well, this is Peter Paul Brazola. We'll be back Wednesday at this time, 5:30, with our guest Richard Badisco, former retired San Francisco policeman and ancestor descendant of Count Badisco, who was one of the people involved in negotiations to acquire the property of Alaska from Tsarist Russia at the time. Good night.